This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind the decisions we make every day and how to make better ones. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman. Join me as I share true stories from Nobel laureates, athletes, authors, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better decisions in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
I've never been a numbers person. I've always just put my age out there. But to say 60, and especially when with all the inevitable changes that were getting ready to happen, I couldn't spit it out.
You're listening to How To. I'm David Epstein. More than ever before, Americans are working into their so-called golden years. By the time retirement comes around, many folks are facing the kind of identity crises they thought they'd left behind years ago. In the past few months, we've gotten a lot of email from listeners about the unexpected identity challenges of those later years. So many that on this week's show, we decided to bring on not just one listener, but three.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm a high school Spanish teacher.
Hi, my name's Doug. I've retired from the military. I'm a personal trainer and I write books.
Hi, my name is Kim. I am starting my life over after 60.
Can you share sort of how did you feel the day you turned 60? I've had my son's birthday. He turned 2, or if you ask him, he said, how old did you turn today? He said, too old.
I felt like your son, David, too old, which is so funny because my daughter recently redid my website for me, but she put my age on there. And when I read it, I'm thinking, oh, heck, now the whole world's going to know I'm 61 years old. Mm. But it's just a number.
Yeah, it's not like I magically felt different the day I turned 60.
Yeah, I tried not to think about it. I was ignoring it, to be honest. Mm. Then my friends are having a birthday party for me, and the wise guy, the maitre d', switched a 6 on my birthday cake to a 9. I made a joke about that.
Oh, no.
It still hasn't hit me, to be honest.
Age may be just a number, but figuring out what exactly to do in this phase of life is really starting to weigh on each of our listeners, even though they're all in a slightly different place.
So I am a teacher. I've been a teacher since I was 23 years old. I'm 60 now, and there's a big part of me that feels like it's time to move on. And there's this other part of me that kind of is mourning the possibility of losing what I have as a teacher, my identity, my social life.
When we spoke to Joy at the end of January, she was considering whether or not to retire at the end of the year. And there was an extra incentive to decide in a hurry.
We get a little bonus, $1,000, if we let them know if we're going to retire by February 1st. So I've got one day.
All right. And I want to jump in with Doug a little bit. Doug, can you tell us about what you're struggling with?
I was, you know, working real jobs, and I was also working with the Army Reserves, and I used to teach fitness classes. And, you know, you're the man of the hour. Like, I'd be in charge of 48 recruits and 12 staff. And, you know, you're up 5:30 in the morning, and Joy can probably relate to some of this, but I'm missing the culture. I'm missing a sense of identity.
You know, that's actually, I think, sort of a perfect way we can transition to Kim.
Well, first of all, David, I was staying at home, and I was actually, we had a ranch, and I was taking care of the ranch, training horses, but the bulk of my existence revolved around my daughter. I homeschooled her, and I was involved in a community of people that were doing the same thing, but I didn't have that career. And now I find myself in a position where everyone I know is retiring. And for the first time at the ripe age of 61, I am having to generate an income.
Our three listeners are all dealing with transitions that are challenging their sense of self. And changing identities as you change your work is something that our expert this week has studied for decades.
My name's Herminia Ibarra, and I'm a professor of organizational behavior at the London Business School.
I've changed my own professional path a few times, and Herminia's work has been influential for me personally. In my last book, Range, I wrote about some of her research on how people make successful and not so successful life transitions.
There was a classic piece of research looking at how people get jobs, and the finding was that people get jobs not through personal contacts with close friends and family, but through personal contacts with people who the job seeker either didn't know very well or didn't see very often, hence the title, The Strength of Weak Ties.
That's interesting because it's like, I think our instinct is probably, oh, this is important. This is about life transitions. I need to talk to people, you know, that know me super well.
No, it's just the opposite. Because, you know, there's even just a very simple thing, which is talking out loud. You know, we think we know what we know, but when you have to start explaining to somebody else, you formulate it in a way that gives you insight. Mm. And so just talking to strangers, explaining yourself, actually helps you figure out, what is my story?
Talking to strangers is a big reason we decided to try something new by bringing our three listeners together. We wanted to hear what researchers refer to as the strength of weak ties in action. On today's show, how to embark on finding a new identity after a major life transition, especially when you're older. Stay with us.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
We're back with our expert Herminia Ibarra and our three listeners, Joy, Doug, and Kim. Joy is a teacher who has just one day left to make a huge decision, whether or not to retire. She's grappled with this decision for years, but something keeps holding her back.
Well, my husband has wanted me to retire for several years now, and I've resisted because it is so much a part of who I am. And I don't know, it's just a hard thing to let go.
Joy, is the question, who am I if not a teacher?
Part of it. I do have a job teaching student teachers, but yes, part of it is even that job, you know, how am I going to teach teachers how to be teachers if I'm not teaching myself?
Joy, what's your biggest fear if you retire?
I definitely want to be a productive member of society still. Mm-hmm. I want to contribute. I want to help people.
It's clear that this is a job that's meaningful, where you're impactful. It's part of your identity. Are there things about retiring that you would look forward to?
Yes. I would love to be able to go to the bathroom whenever I need to. I'm not really a morning person. Meetings start at 7:45, so I'd love to be able to skip that part. I'd like to lose 20 pounds, do some more exercise and things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I have tremendous respect for teachers, and yet I still didn't think of the fact that a perk of retirement might be being able to go to the bathroom anytime you want.
I'm sure it's not what most people think of.
So, Herminia, how would you sort of counsel Joy in thinking about this decision that she has to make tomorrow?
You know, you're kind of stuck betwixt and between. You know what you're moving away from, but you don't know what you're moving towards. And even though you might have some personal projects that you want to take on, you know, there's still this sense of big empty void. The sooner, you know, you start experimenting with some of those things, the sooner some of the drawbacks of this retirement are going to start to slip away and start morphing into a newfound sense of freedom and possibility and next stage.
Yeah, that it's hard because teaching is sort of all consuming.
And then there's also a part about the story that we tell about ourselves. You know, a lot of times making these changes is a bit of losing the plot. You know, how does this story unfold? And so that's how people in this kind of transition end up feeling a bit rudderless because the new story hasn't really gelled yet.
Here's our first tip. Embrace the idea of multiple possible selves. You may have always thought of yourself as a teacher, or a lawyer, an engineer, but when you're facing retirement or some other big change, the story of your life, it'll start to look different than you expected. Herminia recommends actually making a list of these possible selves to help you visualize what the future could hold. You've had a certain identity for a long time, and so this liminal space, when you're transitioning between two lives, it's necessarily unsettling. But just trying new things, Herminia says, will remind you that you aren't stuck with your prior self, and that can help you get to the other side.
Yeah, you know, what's so important about that is that sometimes what you need is just something that isn't necessarily reflective of what you're going to do next in the next stage, but simply gets you doing new things with different people and, you know, just kind of provides a bit of perspective and a bit of a bridge to something else.
For Doug, that idea of bridging to the next big project might be particularly useful, given that he's been searching for the kind of meaning and challenge that he felt when he was in the Army.
I joined the Reserves when I was 17, and it gave me a lot of confidence. I became a paratrooper, and that was, you know, I put on 40 pounds of muscle, and it was really a boost. But then I did a UN tour, the former Yugoslavia, and it's funny, you want to leave, but you still, there's a lot of things you miss.
Doug has sought out challenges over the years, taking up kickboxing and knocking out a guy 15 years younger, going to college in his 40s, starting his own personal trainer business, and writing books on fitness. He's definitely not afraid of change or of trying new things, but at this point in his life, he's not quite sure where to channel all that energy.
Like, what can I do? I got the energy. I'm just, like in the morning, sounds kind of funny. I'm working part-time, but I do, if I'm not working that day, I'll do a false commute. I'll physically get up,
oh, wow,
do a run, exercise, breakfast, and I'll get in the car, or I'll run to a coffee shop. I'll go somewhere where I have the feeling and sensation of going to work.
I'm wondering here, Doug, if part of what's missing is the social contact, is actually, you know, being part of a group of people that are either doing something or participating in an activity together.
That's a good point. I reconnected with some friends, military friends, and it's nice, but you're right.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one thing to reconnect with people. That's all helpful. But what we're talking about here is having meaningful activity that involves others.
Totally agree. I just don't know where to look.
I'm just wondering if one possibility might be, you know, just kind of following your nose on a topic that would be of interest to you, not necessarily having to be linear, maybe not necessarily having to do with training or fitness, but really choosing something in terms of an online learning activity that has a large group component to it that is involved in discussions and is involved in doing things on a regular basis. And I wonder if something like that might not be helpful, not just from the idea point of view, but also from the interaction point of view.
If you're interested in helping high school students, I'm sure I could find a couple of teachers that would love to have a volunteer.
Okay, sure.
We could have a trade here, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Doug is a personal trainer.
There you go.
Let's do some, have some bartering. Doug, it also sounds like there, like a lot of the things you did had very concrete feedback. Like I've found this sometimes too, when you're in sort of more open-ended things where you're not getting that kind of feedback about whether you're doing well, the stakes aren't kind of as clear. Does that make some sense? Do you feel sort of like,
oh yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. I actually saw one of my former trainees, and she's like a top shot in Canada, and it's kind of fulfilling that you contributed to that. You made a difference in someone's life.
I feel the same way about teaching. It's a very rewarding job.
Yeah.
You know, I would say one of the things that I learned watching people try to make changes in their career and move on into different areas, is that when you stick to close to home, friends and family, you know, former close coworkers, those people see you only in terms of your past, and they're only going to reinforce the identity that you're losing, or in some cases that you want to shed. Whereas when you start meeting new people in a different context, you're more of a blank slate.
Here's our next tip. When you think about new projects to join, focus on those that will bring you into contact with new people. Staying in touch with old friends, it's obviously important, but new acquaintances come with advantages. They don't have ingrained ideas about you. They see you through fresh eyes, which can help you see you with fresh eyes. And you don't have to stick with the same group all the time. Experimenting with new things, new people, it's key at any age to figuring out who you want to be.
As we live longer and longer, one of the big arguments that's been made that the way we set up and structure our lives into three parts, you know, the young part when we're learning in school, the big fat middle part when we're working, and then the kind of retirement part just doesn't make any sense. And the piece that often seems missing is what about some kind of back to school experience, you know, in that period before some kind of more formal retirement that would allow us to muck around a little bit. You know, back to school is not just about the classes you take. It's about new friendships. It's about experimenting with different identities. And it would just be so great if there were more of those kinds of options available.
But what if it feels like you don't have the luxury of experimenting, like our listener Kim?
It has been one of the scariest times of my life. There has been pain that I cannot even begin to talk about. And I'm desperately trying to stay fluid and not have these rigid, set in stone ideals and standards as far as this is what I should do and this is what I should look like.
As we'll hear soon, Kim's happiness and her livelihood are on the line. How can she figure out what's next when the stakes are so high? When we come back, Herminia reveals what we all get wrong about life transitions, no matter our age. And our listeners, they might just hold the key to helping each other unlock their potential. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going, today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves, or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
We're back. Like our listeners Joy and Doug, Kim is searching for what to do in the next phase of her life. Not so much because of retirement, but rather an unexpected twist in her story.
I was married for 25 years, and there were some things that happened several years ago that really shattered my marriage, but I had this kind of skewed way of thinking that I couldn't get divorced.
Kim's husband had an affair with someone in their church community. He moved out for 9 months, and then he came back. Kim says she did everything she could to make it work, up until a couple years ago.
I realized that I had allowed fear to lead me to everything I had done prior to that point. So dealt with the fear and stepped out in a lot of faith, and a little over a year ago, I was divorced. I mean, I thought, 60 years old, I'm divorced. 60 years old, all my friends are retiring. They're all very well off financially, and I can't get a job at the local grocery store. I mean, I have humbled myself to a point where I really appreciate it because it's taught me a lot.
Despite her difficulties, Kim is relentlessly positive, and she already has some ideas for what's next. After all, she's spent her whole life as a self-starter, taking care of her ranch, painting oil canvases, and homeschooling her daughter.
I'm a horse trainer. I'm an artist. I've been writing a book for 3 years. I do legacy videos and have just recently started a YouTube channel, but I haven't figured out how to make money.
Can I jump in for a sec?
Sure.
I took all this money I earned from overseas and I bought buildings, and I did building management for years, and it just, everything crumbled, and I was to the point where I was living on an air mattress. You know, God bless the Army. and someone was telling me, you know, they said, well, you're like fitness. And I can't do that. I'm not coordinated enough. You know, I can't go in front of a bunch of spandex. But you know what? I sucked back a bit of pride. And doggone it, I did quite well. It was so weird to step into an area I was unfamiliar with. And then one day, I did some volunteer thing in a kid's martial art club. And I was talking to one of the parents. And he goes, oh, you do personal training? And right there was a pivot point. I went, yeah, I do. and then it took off. And you're a horse professional. I mean, I would just put it out personally. I don't care if you have to put it on a telephone pole. Just put it out there and say horse trainer.
No, but that's an interesting point, is that there's probably a lot of knowledge you take for granted, Kim, that other people would be looking for. And so what do you think about Doug's suggestion, this idea of you know, using some of your experiences and maybe your social capital to try to make part of your horse training a business while you're working in your passion area? Does that sound like something realistic?
Well, it would if it wasn't for my back issues. I do 500 crunches a day to strengthen my core so that it can support my back.
You're shaming me, Kim. Shaming me.
I was a gymnast, so it's natural for me to do things like that. But I don't think that being involved in something physical like that for several hours a day is really something that I can do right now.
Okay.
It also sounds like your passion is with the legacy videos. You know, just in the way you talk about it, that's where you light up.
I do. I love the videos.
So how do you turn your passion project into reality? One of the most useful parts of Herminia's research for me personally was the idea of running small experiments. I used to think you'd have to take a big flying leap to the next phase of your life, plotting everything out beforehand and then running into a phone booth like Clark Kent and coming out 2 seconds later as Superman. But Herminia has found that small experiments, just dipping your toe into something new, are the most beneficial. Our insight into ourselves is constrained by our roster of previous experiences. We learn who we are in practice, not theory. In Kim's case, this advice of first act, then think might be key to getting started on a business.
The deal is that we're taught to have the answer clear in our heads before we make a move. You know, that's basically, you know what your passion is, or begin with the end in mind. Those are things that we're taught. And so when it comes to our careers or to the things we do professionally, I mean, everybody goes through periods in which they don't know what the next step is. It isn't obvious. And by the way, this happens more and more today. So you have to give yourself permission to dabble and start trying things. And sometimes by doing the things that are the wrong things that then allow us to say, oh, that's not it. Let me look somewhere else. But really, it's a serendipity game. And, you know, serendipity has an element of chance, but also serendipity has an element of, did you put yourself into situations where serendipity might happen?
So if you're looking for something new and don't know exactly what it is, put yourself in a position to get lucky. It's easy to be disenchanted when something doesn't work out right away, but keep casting lines for different possible selves. These don't have to be the perfect futures. Kim may need to experiment with profitable ventures while building up her passion project on the side, but these efforts are the bridge that'll get you to your destination. Remember, you can fail many times looking for the next step, but you only have to get lucky once. Kim, as you heard Joy and Doug talk and share their stories, was there anything that kind of resonated?
Absolutely. The one thing that I heard you both say was your identity was tied into what you've been doing. And I think that that's such a natural thing to do, but what we do and who we are not the same thing. So I think you're both such wonderful contributing members of society, and your identity is in who you are, but not in what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. You're right. I definitely think you're farther along on that journey than I am. But retiring
well, I
will
paid
be...
to get here. It's been a lot of introspection.
Well, I would just want to know, Joy, have you decided already?
I think I'm going to do it.
That's what I thought. And so you're going to do it. And you're going to have a bit of an out of sorts period because it's going to feel like nothingness. And, you know, what I would say is enjoy that, even if it's uncomfortable, and don't feel in a huge rush to fill it all up with all kinds of volunteer stuff, because sometimes people do that because the void is so uncomfortable. And then that means that they're just kind of pushing off. Maybe some of the self-reflection, some of the decompression, and not allowing kind of serendipity to set in. Let it evolve. Once you're in a very different space, it's very possible that all kinds of interesting things will come to you.
I love teaching, but it is all-consuming and so much work. And I want to see what else is out there for me. Mm. I really want to take better care of myself. Mm-hmm. I'd love to live abroad again for a while. Mm-hmm. I studied at the University of Madrid when I was 20, and there was an attempted coup that year that I had studied there, and it was very scary to live through. I was in Madrid at the time, so I was in the capital. I don't know. I just was very grateful to come back to the United States after that year. But yes, travel is definitely at the top of my list.
Yeah, get out there. Get out of the comfort area. Meet someone outside your circle. You talk to people. You get a different perspective on things, and then worlds open up.
And Doug, did you have any specific thoughts? Since Joy is, it sounds like, maybe about to become a fitness beginner, and sometimes just the experience of being a beginner in something can be unfamiliar after having been competent at something for a very long time. Do you have any thought you'd want to share with her about that, attorney?
First of all, take your own medicine. In a plane, you have to throw on your mask first. Otherwise, you can't put a mask on someone else. Second thing is, enjoy it. Give yourself small rewards. Every time you go do something small, you mark it. You go have a tea, whatever. You reward yourself consistently. Each day is a small step or a step towards completing where you want to go.
That's good advice. Yeah. I am going to have to take it little steps at a time.
I think it's really, really important to look at the process versus looking at the goal. For me, just to focus on the goal is sometimes too overwhelming. Mm. And I need to just focus on what I'm doing today, what I'm doing right now.
That's great advice, too.
No, this is very inspiring. I'm definitely going to go volunteer in stuff that I'm not totally familiar with. And I'm also... two things on my bucket list. I have to do 500 crunches, and I got to go to a country with a coup.
Excellent.
Thank you to Joy, Doug, and Kim for sharing their stories and advice with us, and with each other. And thanks to Herminia Ibarra for all of her great insights. Be sure to pick up her book, Working Identity. Do you have a question for us? Send us a note at howto@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-495-4001. And if you think this show might be useful to others, please give us a rating and a review and tell a friend. And please consider becoming a member of Slate Plus. Slate Plus members get benefits like zero ads on any Slate podcast, bonus episodes of shows like Slow Burn and Dear Prudence, and you'll be supporting the work we do here at How To. It's only $1 for the first month. To sign up, just go to slate.com/howtoplus. And thanks. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Rachel Allen and Rosemary Belson produced the show. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown, remixed by Merritt Jacob, our technical director. June Thomas is Senior Managing Producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Executive Producer of Slate Podcasts. Gabriel Roth is Editorial Director of Audio, and Charles Duhigg used to host this show until his stock dropped like GameStonk. I'm David Epstein. Thanks for listening.